Thank you. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Blessed be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh God, bless us again.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn.
Right.
mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness.
According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity.
And cleanse me from my sin.
For I acknowledge my transgressions.
And my sin is always before me.
Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight.
That you may be found just when you see, and blameless when you judge.
Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity.
And in sin my mother deceived me.
Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts.
And in the hidden part you will aid me to know wisdom.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean.
Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Make me hear joy and gladness.
That the bones you have broken may rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins.
And blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Do not cast me away from your presence.
And do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me by your generous spirit.
Then I will teach transgressors your ways.
And sinners shall be converted to you.
Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God.
The God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness.
O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth shall show forth your praise.
For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it.
You do not delight in burnt offering.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit.
A broken and contrite heart, please, O God, you will not despise.
Do good in your good pleasure to Zion.
Build the walls of Jerusalem.
Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness.
With burnt offering and whole burnt offering, then you shall offer bulls on your altar.
Created by, we thank thee, all of thy.
first reading is from the Old Testament, the 21st chapter of Numbers, beginning with verse 4. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the souls of the people became very discouraged on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread." So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and it was so. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to thee, O Lord.
Epistle that St. Paul wrote to the Christians in Galatia, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 11. "See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law. But they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to thee, O Lord.
Thank you.
12th chapter of St. John, beginning with verse 27. Jesus says, "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it would thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to thee, O Lord.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Please be seated.
Peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text today is Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But may it never be that I should boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. This is our text. My brothers and sisters in Christ, to begin to prepare for this service, I looked up every reference to the cross in Scripture. I have them all here printed out in fine print for 3 pages. I'll read them to you if you'd like. But seriously, I do have those sermons and those passages with the word cross in bold so I can find it quickly if I needed to. It is really good to be back here in this pulpit before all of you. Some of you may have never sat in a pew in front of me. Others, I know, have. When I first arrived in Crosby back in 1990-something, I came with the resolution that of St. Paul, but may it never be, that I should boast except in the cross of Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. I hope those who are members of the congregation feel that I kept that resolution. Zion, at Ironhub, was my third parish, although it has always felt in my mind like my first parish. I often felt, after I left this parish, that I made some grave sort of mistake. I love this parish and the people here, even though every moment was not perfect joy, so much of it was so wonderful and filled with the blessings of the Lord. I left this parish 20-some years ago, 25, something like that, because you were all becoming so very good at answering the questions that came up just the way I would want it. You remember our Wednesday evening Bible study, sometimes on Tuesday, the older ladies, none of whom are here because the Lord has welcomed them home. Met on Tuesday mornings with me. But on Wednesday evenings, we had a Bible study of 20, 25 people. And as the Bible study grew to that point, when I was asked a question by a new member, and it was always, they always ask the same sort of question when they are a new member in the Bible study, it came to the point where I couldn't talk because everybody else in the class was answering the question for me and answering it exactly the way I would like to have heard it answered. We even had a man in our Bible study who was something of an unbeliever when he came, advertised in the paper that he had all the answers and we should all join him in Bible study. And after a year or two in my Bible study, even he was answering all the questions that came up with the Lutheran answers, which is to say, the biblical answers. I felt at that point in time, having received a call to Missouri, that it was time for someone new to speak the gospel to the congregation in a way I would not, because he was not me and I was not him. And the next man to step in to receive the call, with my recommendation, I'm proud to say, was Pastor Stoltz, who was with you all for 23 years. And he retired from the ministry in precisely the same way I hoped it, in a box. He was a good man. He and his wife were very good friends, and I understand he was a good pastor. That's what I've heard from many people. When I first arrived at Zion, I looked through all the assorted materials that were in the pastor's office to read about the history of the congregation. And I was amazed to find that one of my predecessors, not my immediate predecessor, but one of my predecessors, turned out to be the man who was at that time serving as the district president, the Reverend August Menicky. Were any of you here when he served? I'm sure there were a couple of you, because I know you were here through your whole life. That was back, at least began with, when Zion was the third parish in a three-point parish between Aiken, Iron Hub, and Zion.
Pastor?
Yes?
And Evangelistic Palisade. He had four.
He had four. Wait, I only saw three in the book.
No,
talking
three
about the whistle stops.
In the end, there was four.
Very good. When I arrived, he was district president. Not too long later, he became first vice president of Synod and was awarded a doctorate for something, so he became Dr. Reverend August Menicky. I never knew any of the other pastors before me, personally, or really my stories in your written literature that you left in the pastor's office. One thing changed, I can't make it through a sermon without a drink of water. But I've known a lot of wonderful people in this parish, and I know how they were drawn to the cross. Faithful Christians. Now, I don't mean to compliment or insult anybody. If I leave your name out, I apologize. Just think of the ones that really struck my mind, like the Beermans. Several generations of the Beermans. Each generation absolutely, boneheadedly, stubbornly faithful to the word. Sometimes I think they wondered if I was, and they challenged me at times. You remember that, Roger? Is Roger still here?
You're not here at all.
Oh, pity. I could have had a nice conversation with him right here. By the way, my sermons are always, as Phil obviously remembered, interactive. I don't expect the congregation just sit there and take it. I expect you to ask questions. If I say something that doesn't make sense to you. Or if you have something to add that I didn't think about in. I can't recall all the names because my brain has gotten old and squishy. But I remember their faces, and I remember their heartbreaks and their joys that occurred while I was pastor here. I remember, for example, the Sharp family. Yvonne Sharp's mother was a member here, and her mother was in the care center. And due to strokes and whatever else, her mother could not speak English, or would not, and needed to have her devotions in German. I don't speak German. But for the Sharp family, I memorized the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer auf Deutsch, so that I could go and have devotions with this wonderful lady. I was very fond of Yvonne and the children and Gordy, and especially Angelina. And I heard shortly after I left that Yvonne rolled her car on the way to church one morning and was crushed to death. Which is a good thing for Yvonne because she got to go to heaven right away. And ultimately, I think worked well for the family because Gordy started coming to church. I know I would see things online and note that Gordy and the boys were ushering and helping. So God worked wonders in their lives. I remember my good friend Dave and Karen Dean. I also understand that Karen passed away shortly after I left, in the midst of a very low impact automobile accident that caused her to hemorrhage internally. I remember she used to worry terribly, what will I do? What will Scott do, especially, if I'm gone? Well, I met with Scott several times after she passed away. He would come over to the confessional Lutheran meeting and talk with me. I had to relearn how he spoke each time. Once you got to listening to him, you could hear it all, make sense of it all. It is my understanding that Scott has joined his mother with the Lord. I haven't seen Tim in a long time. I have seen Dave on occasion, like today. I knew a family called Peterson, not Tom, because he was Iron Hub. And we're not talking about Iron Hub today, Tom. I don't remember their names, except I remember that
it was Clarence and Marion.
Thank you. I'm glad somebody remembers them. I remember them, I just don't have the names locked in. I don't even have the names of people I talk to every day locked into my brain. I remember Clarence had really ticklish feet. How many of you knew that? I went with my wife to visit him in the hospital, and as we were walking around the end of the bed, his toes were sticking out, and my wife, you know, just gave him a little touch. Boy, could that man move. And I remember Marion had shingles in her eyes, which had to be horrible, but she was always very pleasant dealing with them. I remember working with Roger Bierman and his father, Bill, and I worked with, I believe it's his daughter, Jerry Nipper. Did I get that right, Jerry? And there's Denny. worked with the Wassinger family. We would babysit their kids, and we had miniature dachshunds in the house. Kids enjoyed them. I remember Gus and Gusty Gorales. They lived right across Thompson Point Road from the parsonage, because they donated the land for the parsonage. I remember these sweet people. Good times. Even the little crabby little incidents with Gusty. I remember the sweet times. I remember going over and playing cards with them. Even though Gus was failing, this was within months of his passing, he could play cards better than anybody. He was good.
So is she.
Well, she may have been good, but he was unbelievable. I love them both. They were good neighbors and good friends. When I left town, she still lived in her home. I understand she moved to one of the high rises or something.
Parkland. Parkland.
Okay. Thank you. I remember the Schmidts. I was talking about him earlier and had his name in mind. What was his name?
George.
George. And George. Yeah.
Vasey.
That's right. George and Vasey. I remember George in Bible study going like this with his hearing aid, and the thing would start whistling. He couldn't tell it. It was blasting everybody else in the room. Wonderful people, good Christians. George told me about watching a young family, six children, waddle up to the front of the church and sit in the front pew, or the second pew from the front, in Excelsior, Minnesota. It was the Fish family. That was the congregation I was confirmed in. They knew me then, and then I came here, and I knew them here. I remember they were iron hovers, sort of, but they came here a lot. Lori and Chris Horton, now Pastor Horton, now in Lakeville?
Rosemont,
somewhere down there. Everybody knows better than me, see? Soggy Brain. I remember Delaney, less than 5 days old, attending her first Bible study on a Wednesday night. And when Delaney started fussing, she started moving around the table, being handed from person to person. Even as I taught the class, I got her and got to hold her for a little bit. And when she started to fuss, I passed her on to, actually it was Vasey, I passed her on to. And of course, that was, then Azalea came a couple along, Azalea. I got to stand in the labor room for Delaney up until about 5 minutes before she was born. I heard she was in the hospital, I ran over, I'm standing there talking to Chris, talking to her. They have one of those pain meters they insert in women somewhere for this. And we sit there and I go, whoa, look at that one. And she'd say, will you stop that? That makes it feel worse. And I told Chris, I don't mean to be in the way. You tell me when it's time to go and I'm out of here. And finally, he turned to me and says, Pastor, I think the moment has come. Mm-hmm. And I left. And it was 5 or 10 minutes later that Delaney was born. When Azalea came, I got to visit her briefly, but they didn't want me in the delivery room all that long that time. Then there were, there's a couple you probably never heard of, the Temples. Roger and Gail, the sweetest people I've ever known.
You talking about the same people?
Huh?
You talking about the same people?
Yeah. Gail was an organist, still is, I believe. She helped break my son Robin into playing for church services. He was good on piano. He liked to play with the organ, but he was very shy, and they worked him in by getting him playing before service a little and playing after service. Of course, this is the Peterson story.
Novotny.
Hmm?
It was Irma Novotny.
It was Irma Novotny who Robin would come to the organ and play while Irma went out for communion. And she would come back and sit, join him on the organ, and he would go back to where he was supposed to be sitting in the congregation. And the third or fourth time, he's playing along, and no Irma. She went and sat with Jack. And when it came time for the next piece of liturgy, I said my part, and my son's sitting there, "What do I do?" And I turned and went. he played it. He could play it. He was very good. And then very soon he became my organist for a couple of years. Gave Gail a break and gave Irma a break and myself to go both places and play for me. When we left, well, he left before I left and went back to school, and Gail had to go back to the organ bench. I could go on naming names. I can tell you, if you ever get invited over for a nice Southern dinner at Gail's, you go. It is so good. I still remember the flavor, dishes, wonderful. I remember the day I was going to go, I think, to the hospital. And I went out to my car in the garage, and I hit the garage door opener, and up it went, and Gail bolted through the garage, through the laundry room, and into the house. She had a concern with a pastor in town who wouldn't help baptize and was causing. So we worked out a system where if she was stuck with a child, especially one approaching death, a newborn or something, that she could baptize that child in emergency baptism. The thing I won't remember best, I mean, I could continue naming names and telling stories, but this isn't much like a sermon, is it?
No.
I don't want to offend anyone. I have memories of Willard Wilding. Well, come home, have a devotion with Willard, go home and get a call. Please come back. Willard just passed. The one thing I really didn't like was walking in on dead bodies. But I walked in and Willard looked really awful. He was odd color and his face was a mask of pain. And I walked in and she says, "He looks good, doesn't he?" And I asked her, I'm going, "Get me out of here." But I didn't say that, I said yes. And we had some prayers. Those are some of the fun moments of ministry. I'm sure you've had some too. Yes. I remember the faces, at least of the older folks. Children who grew up in the congregation while I was here changed so much in 25 years, difficult to recognize. But most of all, what I remember about Zion is that Zion was a family gathered around the cross. When somebody had a problem, the people of Zion all knew about it, they all talked about it, we all prayed about it, and they would comfort one another, including the person with the problem. It was as though the congregation were drawn to the cross. When we heard about a difficult diagnosis, we turned to Jesus in prayer. When we heard that someone was going to pass away, or had just passed away, we gathered around the foot of the cross in prayer. And learned over the years that the painful things in life, the ugly situations that we don't like, we don't want and would never willingly walk into, but God has placed us there, is one of God's most common and powerful tools to draw us to the cross, to draw us to Him, to lean on Him and count on His blessings. Because we remember, in times of sorrow and suffering and difficulty, we remember as a congregation that nothing can touch us as long as we cling to the cross of Jesus Christ. As long as we know our salvation, what can hurt us? If you know that your sins have been forgiven, and they have, whether you believe it or not, when you know your sins have been forgiven, nothing can hurt you. Because you know God is with you, standing with you, blessing you. Now, I'm not saying everything that happens in our lives is sweet and wonderful to me. We look forward to, you know, breaking a bone or something. No. But we know whatever comes by the Lord's permission is good. It is a blessing for us in some way. And maybe a blessing for somebody else. Because like I say, this congregation tends to gather around when someone is hurt, injured, or frightened, and support and strengthen and encourage. Did you have that experience? Yes.
Definitely.
Mrs. Stoltz is shaking her head, yes. People were a family. Only better. If you knew my family, you know why I say only better. My family was not always supportive, was not always careful. I'm not talking about you, Brian. I'm talking about my brothers and sisters. I could tell stories on YouTube, but you don't want me to do that, do you? We are protected from every evil. Often things that should have happened didn't. And a doctor looked down at me at the hospital less than a year ago and said,
probably almost 5 years ago.
Okay, I don't remember how long ago. I don't remember, huh? Doctor, flipping through my chart, looks down at me and says, sorry, sir, I'm afraid I have to inform you that you're not going to live through the night. Nice way to be checked into the hospital, right? I think he was wrong. The next night he did the same thing. The charts, he's looking at me. I'm sorry to tell you this, sir, but you're not going to live through the night. I started laughing and he said, what are you laughing about? I said, well, that's what you told me last night. Obviously it was wrong both times. See, pain is pain. Pinch your arm, it will hurt. Illness is always unpleasant to have. Disability is difficult to deal with. I can't move my neck. And my back hurts like a son of a gun. But pain and disability and illness are all tools that God uses in our lives to bless us. You want to know when it's not a tool to help you help someone else, when you want to know when it's really serious is when you open your eyes in heaven. But while the Lord keeps you here, everything that happens is a blessing as part of the Lord's plan for you. Doesn't have to make sense to you. It doesn't have to be comfortable. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his
cross.
All right, let's try that again. Deny himself, take up his
cross,
and follow me. Some of you forgot I do that, huh? I have to train every congregation to fill in the word. I learned that from Dr. Scar. What?
Scar.
I learned this from Dr. David Scar.
Dr. David Scar.
Just because it's unpleasant for the moment doesn't mean it's evil or that it's intended for any evil. But it's intended for you to wake you up to prayer. It's intended for your neighbors to wake them up to care. It's not what is awful for us or looks awful to us is not necessarily awful. Jesus died for us and he took all that truly, truly awful stuff. And when he died on the cross, his last words, very nearly last words, were, it is
finished.
What was it?
Finished.
What was finished?
Our salvation.
Your salvation. Your sins were paid for. Already. You were forgiven and given the gift of eternal life. The only people who don't go to heaven are the people who turn it down by refusing to know the Lord, refusing to trust the Lord, refusing to let his will be done. We'll have a complaint. And he'll even take a few complaints if it hurts real bad. I know. The people of Zion were drawn to the cross because they knew that at the cross was where their pains made sense, where their troubles found a solution. I'd love to take credit for all the good things that have happened in Zion, both while I was pastor here and in the long time, quarter century since I left. I'd love to do that, but I can't. I know it had little to do with me. And it's going to be the same with this guy. It's going to have little to do with him, except that he tells you the truth. He speaks the word of God to you in good times and in bad, and lets the congregation draw to the cross and gather around and pray for one another and support one another. I cannot boast because it says, well, may it never be that I should boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. If I ever did anything and you remember me fondly, which is hard to imagine, but I hope you understand that the only thing I really wanted to be was faithful to the word, holding the cross of salvation before you, my bent nail cross, holding the cross before you for your comfort and even more for your salvation. Now, anybody wants me to read all those Bible passages? A few pages, raise your hand.
Maybe another time.
Well, I will leave this behind, and you can pick up a copy from the present pastor, if you wish, and read the passages that I printed out. Until then, This congregation has been on a 100-year journey with dozens of pastors. Many probably better than me. The last one better than me. This one better than me. For which we thank God. On the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be and abide with you all.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Of the Holy Ghost be with you all.
Amen.